Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
It's Maverick City Music in the room, right? He's in the room this afternoon on 657 AM Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. 12 minutes after 1 this afternoon on 657 AM, a Thursday afternoon at that, 13th of June, 2024. I missed it, 3. Happy birthday to you if you are celebrating. Happy anniversary if it's a special date, you know, a special date that's close to your heart. I hope you are celebrating. I hope you celebrated and you've just enjoyed yourself and you're creating memories, not just for yourself, but for your children as well. I really hope you did that and so much more. A big thank you to Dr. Julius Mangotumbu for sharing the word with us. Truly appreciated. In case you missed the word this afternoon, he was talking about joy in tough times, James 1 verses 1 to 4. Dr. Julius Mangotumbu, that's where we were this afternoon. In terms of the word of God, we're joined on the line by Khomotso Kalela with Level Up, and we get straight to it. Khomotso, good afternoon, and thank you so much for making time.
Good afternoon, and happy Thursday to you and your listeners.
Happy Thursday. Yes. Are you good?
I am good, Mpo. Really, really good.
You were saying?
No, I wish there was a song after you finish saying happy Thursday. I can just play it just to welcome me after once again.
Happy Thursday.
Yes. I am lovely, Mpo. Looking forward. The schools are closing tomorrow. So, yeah, it's going to be quite a bit of an easier 3 weeks.
I saw someone write that already. Uti, she's like, yo, yeah, hey, bank balance will reflect these holidays one way or the other.
That as well. So we were talking with the kids around how do we make these holidays educational as well. So they were talking about how about doing things that are similar to what they have learned at school. So it's going to be quite interesting going to some museums, learning around certain things so they can practically see it. So I think that's what you want to do with the kids this holidays.
I think it's a brilliant idea. Yo, dad of the year, because wow, you are already planning with your kids. And that's what we need to do. I mean, gone are those days where kids will just eat and play. These kids want stuff lined up like educational trips, you know, play dates and so forth. You must just plan ahead for them because, yeah, they have a life.
Yeah, no, because if you don't, like you say, that oros will finish very quickly.
Very, very true. Very true. You literally need a budget for this. Let's get straight into what we're talking about today, how Christians can actually make a difference in the workplace.
Thank you, Paul. Let me really just go straight into it. And for me, this was inspired by the long weekend that is coming where we will be celebrating Youth Day. And I think is the impact that the generation prior to us made that the world sort of changed a bit for us. And my question was, how can we, you know, as Christians, as young people, as professionals and business people, how can we actually make an impact or make a difference in the world? And I think, if you think around it, I mean, every single day presents us an opportunity, you know, and it really presents us an opportunity to live out our faith and make a difference in the world. So every single day, there's an opportunity, either at work, at school, in businesses, or wherever we are, there is an opportunity for us just to make a difference. And as Christians, I definitely believe that we are called to be leaders and role models, you know, whether it's at work, within the communities that we stay, even in our families, you know, we are called to be leaders and role models. And really, this spirit of leadership, we see it throughout the history of the Bible. We actually see it in the courageous stories that we find of individuals in the Bible. And we also see it in the courageous stories that we have around the secular world. You know, if I can use that word, rather loosely. You know, we find in that individual stories that we find that we read about in the world that we live in. I mean, the Bible times, we read it by, all the way from Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt, you know, how he got into leadership at a very, very young age. We see Daniel as well, standing firm in his belief, you know, in his workplace and in his capacity and with his friends. And we see that stories about that, you know, in the Bible, how younger people, they stood firm, how younger people, they actually demonstrated even where they work when they were required, you know, to bend the rules, but they didn't refuse. So these stories for me, that's reminded as we are looking around the Youth Day coming through, it reminded me about the power of faith-driven leadership, you know. And again, not only because we are young or young at heart, or we are at work or we are leaders, but all of us as Christians, it is demanded of us that we be like the light. It is demanded of us that we be the salt. So it is up to us to then be leaders and demonstrate this faith-driven leadership in all the places that we are in. So in our professional lives, I mean, as I said, we are definitely called for something that is needed in this world, which is ethical leadership. And I think it is very, very important that we speak quite a lot about it, you know, ethical leadership, ethical conduct. We are called as Christians that we do that. You know, it's very important as Christians that we are not only called for ethical leadership, but our ethical leadership is not dictated by just principles of the world, but is guided by Christians' principles that we find in the Bible. So this power or this faith and courage, where does it come from? You know, as I thought around the story of David, which became the story that for me was like the theme of this topic for me, you know, we see the timeless examples of how through his unwavering faith and courage, he stand firm, particularly when he was facing the odds against Goliath, that he stood firm. And we see that he relied much more on God, you know, through those times that he relied on God. And I think his unwavering resolve enabled him to get victory. And I think as we're talking about how do we make change, we must then have that resolute that we will trust in the unfailing love of God. We will trust in the faithfulness of that God will see us through. I think for me, it's the cornerstone of that. And with us now celebrating Youth Day coming this Friday, this Sunday, and following to the public holiday on Monday, how we see young people of the past who displayed this type of immense courage in the fight against injustice around the time, their actions stand as a testimony for the transformative power of those who can stand, you know, the transformative power even of young people's conviction, the transformation power of if we stand firm on our conviction, we will indeed make a change. So as I talk about young people, I might talk about those who are young, you know, youth, or those who are young at heart, like myself. I am always young at heart. And those of us who are professionals, who are businesses, I'm really referring to you as well. And how do we move this talk to say how us as Christian can demonstrate this leadership at the workplace? The first verse that really caught my heart around this preparation was, you know, Proverbs 29 verse 2, where it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. And I think that's what I am excited about when I talk about Christian leadership, you know, at the workplace. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. And I think that's what I'm talking about. You know, it ends by saying, but when a wicked man rules, the people groan. I think that's the power of what my statement around how do we make an impact or a difference at a workplace. So that's going to be the four things that I want to talk about that we can really lead by example as Christians, or four examples on how we as Christians leaders can really show an impact, you know, in our workplace. The first one is a very simple one. I already spoken a bit about it, is that we must lead and act with integrity. You know, so there's a very first one. We must lead and act with integrity. How can we make a difference in our workplace? We must act and lead with integrity. I've been doing a lot of training this week. And one of the things that I was talking about, I was training young kids who are getting into the employment world. And I was just getting them ready around work. And I was talking about the concept of integrity. And really here, we talk about upholding ethical standards, you know, where your professional is concerned. And here, just upholding the standards, even when people are there to see you. So upholding ethical standards in all your dealings, you know, reflecting the character of Christ in how we do our businesses as well, you know. And here is like creating as I call it, a Christ-centered work environment in terms of how we act. Many of the young ones that I was speaking to this week, I mean, one of the challenges they kept on talking about is, look, the way sometimes corruption is so tough, you know, it's very, very difficult for us, you know, how do I measure the risk of me losing a job and or just not looking the other way around? And I think it's a real reality. And for me, it's just the encouragement as I thought about it and I talk about Daniel as well, the encouragement that we just need to stand firm as Christian, must lead with integrity. So, I mean, a very ex a an exciting example can just be, you know, you are a manager, you're excited, you are doing exceptionally well in your work, and then you just discovered as you were reviewing one of your work employees' job that they've done an error. One of their clients' expense account or report, you know, they have an extra zero instead of 10,000, you know, it's 100,000. So there's an extra zero, which pumped your profit. How do you deal with that? You know, and the client has already paid that invoice, probably on the other side, they didn't check, or they've trusted you and they just paid the invoice. How do you deal with that? Again, is leading with integrity. Some of the basic steps around issues like that is having an honest conversation with your people, just to remind them about, you know, how we must always check our mistakes, and particularly if we're a supervisor, how do you always we must check the type of work we do, and then help them in a private way and encourage them in terms of how do you correct this error. So you are helping them to be honest in the conversation. You are helping them finding the error and finding a fair solution on the particular problem. And this might also require you obviously calling the client to say, hey, I've made an error. This was an extra zero, or you've paid me more. You know, they might have even paid you more. You have paid me more. Here is a refund. Or maybe we have used the money, you just realized now. Can we make a repayment plan for the next 6 months, for the next 3 months, so that you can be able to get your money back? So it's about that, as Christian, that we must lead with integrity. When there is a fault, we must have honest conversation with our peers, our supervisors, our subordinates. We must find a fair solution. And then if it needs us to correct, we must make a plan. You know, if it's either refunding or whatever the case might be, then we must make a plan. The second aspect I want to talk about really is practicing servant leadership. And I think here, when I talk about leadership, as I've spoken in there before, I'm talking about every single one of us. Either you are a junior at work, you are senior at work, or middle management, or you're an executive, or you are just a person within the community, we must be able to practice that servant leadership. Here is really about how do we empower our teams? How do we ensure that there is a collaborative work environment wherever we are? So servant leadership, we must practice it. How do we ensure that within the environment we are, there is a collaborative climate, there is love? You know, the characteristics of Christ are then shown here. I mean, and again, how do we make it practical? It can be as easy as ensuring that we train the other guys by delegating tasks to them that match their skills, so ensuring that people are working within what they are trained to do, while you are also offering them the opportunity to learn new skills and giving them a little bit of more work. And again, this is best done through mentorship and training, ensuring that at work, people who are coming in are being trained, people who are coming in are being empowered, people who are coming in are being prepared for work. Again, you might not be the leader of the team, but you might be someone who goes and propose those aspects that, hey, we are seeing that there are new entrants in the office. How about we ensure that they are prepared for the work that you're going to do? Is then practicing that servant leadership, that you're going to be in the front and lead the young ones that are coming. Again, you want to be the one that you are saying, I have the experience of this work. I've seen how certain work have been done. So let's make sure that we have clear expectation and we support the young ones that are coming into the work environment. Let's make sure that we provide a clear and expectations are quite clear around the young ones that are coming to work. I mean, especially those who've been in work for some time, they understand the challenges that they have faced throughout the years, and they probably have seen that there might be a better way of doing things. I mean, one of the things that we have done in our office in the past few weeks, to say there have been a couple of few people that have been coming in, and I think we were not as prepared as we thought we were in terms of how do we onboard them. We have taken them and some of our older guys and says, hey, how do we make this experience better for you? So they have written a proposal, they have written a document, and then we'll then take that document and try and see how we can best implement it from the office point of view, so that the future ones that are coming through, they can at least have a better experience as they come into the workplace. Again, and the third one is that we must be able to make ethical decisions. You know, again, here is that when we approach these challenges with a Christ-centered perspective, we must then face them. You know, we must practice fairness. We must really be responsible about how we make decisions, and our decisions must just be Christ-centered. I mean, this is similar to the first one that I spoke about, where I was speaking about leading with integrity. So here, making ethical decision is really, really similar. Again, you can get someone who's asking you to say, hey, your project is taking too long to be approved. There is something that is stuck. you know, in the approval process. We need some money so that we can grease the wheel. We need some gift so we can grease the wheel so that the process of approval can be expedited. Again, it's you making ethical decisions that I will not participate in this type of process. Many businesses already, they have got policies that guide us around that, but it's for us, when there are no policies, that we should be firm and stand, says we will not grease any wheel. You know, if my proposal is correct, it should then pass. Again, this will require some sacrifices from us because we want to make a difference in the work environment. Lastly, really, we must be able to build a network for good. You know, we must be able to build a network for good. Again, we must be able to create a culture or connect with like-minded Christian professionals wherever we are. And we spoke in one of our sessions around how do we make sure that at least once a week we come together, we pray, even so at our corporate level. Once a week we come and maybe read the word. Again, it might be 30 minutes of your lunchtime. If it's not possible, it can be either first day of the week, we come early, we pray, or whatever it is. If it's not at work, it might be at a social gathering that we then find a like-minded people that we come together and pray. We have a similar session where every single month we come together. Like-minded people, we pray once a month for 3 days, every single month. Again, creating a network of support and collaborative. That's what I'm talking about, building a network for good. Again, this will help us to amplify the voices that we have. This will help us to also even advocate for change within the industry or the communities where we are. So those are the four things that I wanted to just to share a bit around how we can make a difference in our workplace. So let me end with this few points, and Paul, by saying that we need to build a brighter a future and a brighter generation. And some of the things that I've always spoken about as Christian professionals, that we should be active agents around doing positive change around it. One is mentorship. We've been speaking about mentorship for a very long time. Like, let's find time to invest in the young people that are coming into the work. Let's find time for us to give and share knowledge and experience around the things that we have learned in work. Let's foster this new generation of ethical leaders that are coming behind us so that they can be able to lead with that conscious thing. Again, let's get involved in our communities. We've spoken about this during the period of elections as well, that let's seek opportunities to serve in the communities where we are. Again, it can be through charities that are there or charitable work that are there. It might be through us volunteering wherever it's possible. It might be you deciding that you're going to be part of the a governing body or trustee around your complex, you know, body corporate, because you want to get involved in the community, you want to bring change where you are. So it's here is about being a beacon of hope, so we can bring, you know, that compassion beyond our professional sphere. And lastly, really, let's just practice being stewards. You know, let's manage what God has given us responsibly, either time, talents, whatever it is. Let's practice stewardship with whatever God has given us. And I think as I close for today, really, I just want to encourage people that we must be the change that we want to see. I think this is a famous speech by one, I think, of the American president that says, be the change that you want to see, if I remember who the right person. So don't wait for others. You know, use your skills, use your resources to promote ethical practice. Use your skills, use your resources to mentor young people that are coming. Use your skills, use your resources, you know, to volunteer within the communities where you are. You know, so be the change that you want to see, either at the workplace, either in the community, either at church. Be the change that you want to see. And this is really how we can live out our faith, by practicing ethical leadership, advocating for justice, and serving positively, you know, or rather serving as a positive influence within our community. I think for now, let me end here and say, together we can build a brighter future that reflects Christ-centered values as we move forward.
Amen and amen. Christ-centered values as we move forward. Very important things that you're touching on, you know, in the way mentorship. I mean, I'm sure a lot of young people will definitely agree with you. You know, it's certainly a lot that can be done. You're speaking about trustees. A lot of us live in gated communities. And to be quite honest, I was having a chat with someone. Most of us run as far as possible from that responsibility.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is something that one can do when you bring about a change. You know, like you're saying, be the change that you want to see.
Most definitely. And especially with these gated communities, you want to be there and be the light. You know, you have seen how things are done, how we can improve. be there and be the light. You know, I've taken that responsibility, and I can tell you, definitely people run when that comes through. And you just sometimes sit and say, yo, what did I bring myself into? But yes, the change that you want to see.
Sure. No, love it, love it, love it, love it. And I'm sure you're going to do well. I'm sure you've been doing it for some time, right? Was it a new...
Yes, it's been a year now. It's been a year, so yeah.
And you're still alive, so yes.
Most definitely, yeah. No, but like I said, you see people, a lot of people are running away from these responsibilities. And then when we go there as Christians, we are bringing order. We are bringing God's principles, God's values. We are bringing God's justice in how things are.
There's money involved in those things.
Exactly. There's money involved, how people are proving things. So most definitely, I've seen a bit of change. We are doing a lot of good work around what we are trying to do here. So we are trying to build a community, you know, where I'm staying. So, yeah.
I love that. Be the change that you want to see, like you said. Thank you so much, Khomotso. Really appreciate it. How do we get a hold of you on social media or any other platform?
On social media, I am on X. My handle is Kekalela. That's my handle on X, Kekalela. And you can also get me on email, info@talentunleashed.co.za. info@talentunleashed.co.za. Like I normally say, we are unleashing God's talent to the nation. Unleashing God. And today I didn't black out.
Yo, Ndilixulandundat.
Thank you so much. How ube blank ku life. So today, unleashing God's talent to the nation. Thank you, Paul.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Khomotso Kalela. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Dad.
Share the love, share the truth, share the life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
It's good for you as our listener to know about Radio Pulpit's activities. Or do you need advice in an area of your life? Then why don't you log on to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Here you can talk to us, listen to us via live audio streaming, and there is also other reading material for the soul. What are you waiting for? Visit the Radio Pulpit website right now. www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.